AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school, like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Big Bang.
It is what it is, man.
DJ Scream.
You don't be on nothing I be on.
BB Jade.
Okay, so let me ask y'all this then.
Bring you big facts.
Ethnic right now.
Visit the new website today, bigfactspod.com.
Live from the Trap Music Museum, it's time for Big Facts with Big Bang. Baby J, DJ Scream, special guest, long overdue. Killer Mike is here. Killer Mike. We got y'all. We told you Killer was coming. What's up,
What's
Killer?
Up,
how you feeling today?
That way.
Yeah.
Nigga, I found all up and down this motherfucker.
Oh, God.
How you feeling today, my brother?
Man, I'm blessed to be here, man. I'm blessed, highly favored. Thank you.
Man, anytime somebody do something for the culture like you did with Michael, man, we just got to salute you for an amazing body of work.
Thank you,
man. I honestly wasn't listening to as much music, but that got me back on my music. Yeah, got
Atlanta,
me inspired.
Atlanta got the best album this year.
Yeah.
And not your rap album.
Yes.
Atlanta.
Yeah, shit,
but now
sure.
I say Atlanta produced it because Atlanta produced me. This very ground we standing on. I went to church right there. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
So all them old people that poured into me, every J that ever pulled me to the side and gave us a good advice, every teacher that believed in me, like I really, from my heart of hearts, just thank you, because I couldn't have made this album without this city.
Right.
So. How I feel to be like really stapled in your city, like somewhere that you came up, you went through the ups and downs. That's all exactly. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's all I would want. And not, you know, I noticed I wanted it in a stereotypical way, so I want a nigga to know me, respect me. You know, I knew I was Ant Man, you know, nephew knew I was Nisi boy, like all that old kind of nigga who from Atlanta, you know, I say my father name, like that's some pretty shit, the big shit to live up to in terms of notoriety, known on the street and shit. But I wanted to be known like my grandmother. Like Betty Clunch could get to the mayor in 6 phone calls. And she was a nurse. She was a girl moved here from Alabama in 1950. She slept. She was right down there in Dixie Hills. She said her cousin, you know how women get sometimes. She said, my cousin had a man over my girl, so she wouldn't even let her, come in the house. I said, what you do? She said, I slept on the porch. And I went inside, washed myself, then I walked to nursing school. She said, I knew I wasn't going to live. I wasn't going to stay with the hell for too long. Next thing you know, they say she was so mean, she worked at the cable chicken factory, say she ain't like the lady next to her, say she got hooked on a machine and was pulling up, say she was quiet. So I wasn't going to let the, what the hell for save me. You know? So she was a very determined woman, you know? So, yeah. You know, my thing was she reminded me of you and her connectivity with the community and people, Jay. And that's all I ever wanted. I wanted for my grandfather. He said, don't embarrass yourself and take care of your sister. Don't embarrass me and your mama's name and don't embarrass black people. So to me, that was success.
Yes.
Success was if I could go to another neighborhood and they say, well, this such and such grandson, it meant something. When I went to my grandmother's funeral, it was you that thought a politician died. You thought a city council person said that. So that's really, I wanted to be known in Atlanta, but like, like I love the other shit. My uncle was on that ratchet shit, but man, no, like her, man, she could just walk in the city council meeting and the city council people spoke to her. You know what I'm saying? And she wasn't pretentious. She was regular because she was going to be the same lady taking food door to door in her neighborhood for the legacy residents who was. So that's all I wanted. I wanted my name respected in a lot of different rooms. Everybody from the Chamber of Commerce to the motherfucker standing in front of Amoco. I figured if I figured that out, I was cool the rest of my life. That's why I won't ever leave the city. I won't move nowhere else. Because this is it. This was it. I travel. I'm going to visit. About 2 weeks, the shit been cool. Bali, I'll see y'all ass later, you know? It's been cool in Dubai. I couldn't smoke no weed, all that other shit. But I love Atlanta. I love Atlanta like, man, like you know, like a Christian love church.
What you think missing in Atlanta right now when we talk about, you know, the new Atlanta and the field being different?
Like, more black people cooperating with one another. And more black and white people understanding that cooperation is what's going to push all of us forward. I don't know who the white boy was in Buckhead that moved down. He wanted Buckhead to succeed. God bless his soul. He stoked a lot of fear, a lot of bullshit. But white folks who've been in Atlanta and been in Georgia long enough know that we know how to sit at the table. Everybody don't always get what they want. Most people don't get everything they want. But we walk away, even though we're a little more uncomfortable, the greater good of Georgia serves. That's why you look at a state like Georgia, we've been number one in business the last 10 years. The last 10 years in terms of growth and development, Georgia's been number. And I don't know too many niggas who want jobs who can't get them in Georgia. You know, you might not get the job you want, but goddamn, it's some good jobs here. You know what I'm saying? I had a cousin did 6 years federal penitentiary time in Alabama, came home, worked for the city of Atlanta. Now this nigga got everything. I got nigga got the same watch, nigga got a better cut, this paint job better. Nigga got the same thing. And talk to our young cousins about that type of stuff. So for me, we not perfect. There is no utopia, but I got a shot here. You know, I got an opportunity. I stand a chance. So what we need is more black people coming here for that reason. To say I'm willing to work hard and willing to learn. Right now, I give y'all a secret. Ain't nobody else gonna tell you. Until we figure out how to get a good statewide propaganda campaign, Georgia needs tradespeople, and they paying top dollar. So if you're a traveling nurse, you can come here and make $160 an hour. They're going to pay you 6 to 9 months. They're going to send you back home. But if you're a nurse here, like if you're a high school girl right now, you don't know what you want to do, you're a high school boy, 17, 18 years old, you can start going to area techs or trade school now, getting your real two-year nursing degree, go on, get matriculated, get your four-year nursing degree. You make $60 an hour. They paying that at Piedmont today, not tomorrow. And they short staff. They need more nurses.
That's fact.
They need truck drivers. Because that port that's getting built in Savannah, them dump trucks got to come in and out. Y'all niggas who got out who might can't get no job, that look, the shit you buried in your mama yard, get a dump truck. Get your old lady to finance a truck. Get that motherfucker to move it. You know what I mean? Because right now they need it. And they're going to need it for the next 15 to 20 years. They need, there's a Georgia Youth Bill program that I support, that I talk a lot about. And that I've gotten money too, you know what I mean?
Right.
And they take 14 to 24 year old children, they give them trades, electricians, carpentry, welding, that kind of shit.
What's the name of it?
Georgia Youth Build.
Okay.
Georgia Youth Build. Shouts out to Randy over there, shouts out to Christina. But they take these kids, so the same kids that, man, that love this kind of shit, you can have all this shit and have a job where you ain't got to work yourself to death. You work solid hours and not you can't have it on some imaginary shit. This what they need now. You know, the governor, you know, I know a lot of niggas get mad, you know. Well, niggas don't get mad. Niggas understand. Niggas have worked with everybody. My black bourgeois people, folks on with the Morehouse shit. Why'd you take that picture? What? What was the governor? You a Republican. I know, I'm just asking. Like, nigga, I know you vote Republican. I mean, you lying. I took the picture because I was interested in saying, hey, man, we need more trades programs because our girls going to school. We need, instead of sending these little boys to jail, we did it. And a year, 2 years later, after you go through the fire, people say all these things, which people who paid by another party to say things, the same party you helped win. After that, you get a call. He said, hey, I want you to come to the Georgia Workforce Summit. And then you get in there and you realize I'm in here with the most powerful people in Georgia.
Yeah.
I'm in here with the black woman who's the head of AT&T. I'm in here with the black man who's the head over at Lockheed Martin. I'm here with other black people, but I might be the only nigga in the room.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I might be the only person gonna come back off that mountaintop down to the valley and say on Simpson Road, on Ashby, hey, this is what's happening. For the next 10, 12, 15 years, I'm gonna tell these mamas out there with these boys, they need your boys holding hammers. They need your boys wiring shit. They need them on Tyler Perry Studio. They need them behind trucks going up and down, and they gonna pay them a shit ton of money.
Mm.
Niggas gonna be able to buy all the jewelry they want to out of old school. They want to have a pension, take care of the kids. All you got to do is direct them that way.
All
you gotta do is show up. All you gotta do is show up. It ain't hard. You know how to hook up a video game. You already smarter than me. You know? So I wanna see us, man. I wanna see this city be what it was for my grandmother. And that's a place for a girl who came out of Tuskegee, Alabama. Came up here out the country.
Yes.
You know, they weren't poor, but boy, they sharecropped it. They bought their own land. Oh, she came here and she raised a foundation that gave a family, me and my sisters, all successful. One of my sisters, master beautician, other of my sisters, an accountant with the Dillard University. We grew up right in the same neighborhood. We ain't got too many tragedy stories, no family trauma. You know, we done went through everything in every other black family, you know. Mm-hmm. But what we didn't ever do was stop persevering. And that's all I want to see us do. If we do that, I'd die a happy old man. I'd be right, like Andy Brown this motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Andy Young is what I'm talking about. Yeah. Those who may not know. Sure. Mm-hmm. But that's how I want to be when I'm old. I want to say I contributed to an environment that could create more successful black people. If I do that, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question, though. With that being said, do you think that vision is still possible? Since it's such a huge difference between the grandmothers of yesterday and the grandmothers of today.
Oh, no, your grandmother's a fucked up dad, too. Now, don't think your grandmother just know blues, then fuck your granddad. You don't know who your auntie dad is. Why your auntie light skinned? Everybody don't look like you. You know what I'm saying? Your granddad's just a good nigga, though. That's it, man. That's my daughter, really too. Your auntie got good hair like a motherfucker. Everybody run around this motherfucker.
Real, you know, shit.
So old real people shit. Were not perfect. Go listen to their music.
No. I know. I know that. But I'm just saying, like.
What I'm saying is, when you become a grandmama, you can still do all that ratchet ass shit outside your house, but be a grandmama.
I think what she's saying is there's a difference between Mahalia Jackson and Sexy Red.
I ain't talking about Mahalia Jackson. Okay. I'm talking about Stagger Lee.
Okay.
You, Stagger Lee was a pimp who wore Stetson who killed the nigga.
Mm.
That was my granddad. I remember that's my granddad. I thought N.W.A. was some bad shit.
Yeah.
He's like, nigga, that shit ain't not with Stagger Lee. They ain't even killed nobody for real. I went to the library. That's when the niggas still have, like, you know, boo. I done went to the goddamn library. I done do it. The Dewey Decimal System read up on this. The fuck? Found the rest of the library. This shit said, this nigga was cold. Yeah, man, black people been doing it. Go listen to Muddy Water. Listen to B.B. King. Listen to how they say they women act.
No, for sure.
You know what I mean? Listen to how they say women act. They weren't talking about the men. They weren't talking about, oh, nigga, I want to kill this nigga. They said, man, this bitch done left me. Bitch still left me for another nigga across town.
Yeah, he's speaking facts.
You understand what I'm saying? Think about that now.
He's speaking facts.
But what your grandmother had sense enough to understand when she was 27, if I fuck up had this baby by this other nigga, because I ain't no Planned Parenthood then, I got to lock in with this nigga with. I got to be 100% with him. And all I'm saying is for the grandmamas out there with y'all ratchet asses, lock in for them babies. Say that ratchet shit for the ratchet time. Go out to the club. Fuck all night. Do it to it. But for them 8 hours that them babies with you, them babies need to thank you, God, because you're the closest thing to God to them.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Your mama, you raised that girl. You can get mad about that girl, but you raised them. You know, you knew her faults. You knew that motherfucker was slipping a little bit. So now that you got these rap, you give you a chance. I realized my grandma raised her so well because she had a do-over.
What
do you mean by that?
She couldn't have children. She liked working outside, they say, when she was a little. And I pull out later on the pendant. I keep her behind my mama. Usually people see the niece. My mama, they know about the niece. But Miss Betty was a country girl. My wife be joking. My wife be telling my grandma was a lesbian. I mean, she be making, I'm going to be chatting like this. My grandmama liked working outside to the day she died. She would cut on grass, cut on hedges and shit. She would die walking up a hill in my arms at 79 years old. So she never was really with no girl and shit. She didn't like cooking, being in a house, all that kind of shit. She understood as a woman, I'm going to do this to accommodate my husband and to take care of the child. So when she had when she, by the time she got a childbirthing years, got married, she had a lot of miscarriage. Because physically, she had worked her body in the field. Yeah. That's what her presumption was. But she had my mama naturally. I had a adopted Jean, an aunt named Jean that died as a child in a fire. My autistic uncle that was adopted. My grandmother was an adopter and caretaker, foster of children.
Yeah.
And shit, my mama was the only one she had, so she spoiled my mama. Oh, man, my mama had new clothes every season. My mama was precious she could be. And then somewhere along the lines, you know, my mama with all this, my mama wanted the I love you. Mm. I want her. My grandmama, she said,
that wasn't really her saying.
I told my grandma one time, I told Benny, I said, why you don't never say you love me? She said, nigga, I feed you. No, she said, I feed you, don't I? I feed your ass fat. She say, your lights are on. And she said, what I got to say it for? You can't. And I went back to my room. And I'm talking about, dude, we argue at 7, 8, 9 years old. And I said, damn, like, she don't just say, she show us every day.
Yeah.
So I realized that at some point in her life, my mama gave her a do-over. My mama decided to have me at 15. She's at Frederick Douglass High School. She had me. And when she got married to my, I have two dads. When she got married to my second dad, she married, and my grandmother, I literally remember my grandmother saying, no, let him stay with me and Willie, and we'll raise him, and you're going to learn how to be a wife. See, my grandma kind of knew she had put some bad product out there for my mom. She tried to spoil the shit out of the girl. I ain't made her do too much. So she got to go learn her and this guy, learn each other. So my grandmother raised me and my sisters almost radically different than she raised my mom. She was very accommodating to my mom. My mom had a lot of friends. My sisters, you know, she kept a closer eye on, you know, that kind of, my sisters didn't get pregnant after they got out of the house. But I realized that she understood that what we put in these kids from morals and principles is that she got good morality even with my mother, but my mother just was spoiled with things. She didn't give us a lot of things, but what she gave us was principles, morals, integrity. And my grandfather did too. So,
yeah.
That's for me. Your grandmama's out there. That's the mission. You can do all the shit you want. I remember my grandma came in. I didn't even know she drank. She was drunk as shit. I don't know if she went to see B.B. King or just went to a party for him. She came back singing B.B. King at 3 in the morning. And while she was behind the door, fucked up. I'm looking like the devil done got in this motherfucker. My granddaddy calm. Usually he the nigga that's drunk. Yeah. You know what I mean? He done had a good week. But I realized that, oh, this is a human being.
Yeah.
She done,
right.
And what she said is, because at 44 was I was born, she was 44. She dedicated the rest of her life to, she was 79, to shepherding me through this wilderness. You know what I mean?
That's hard.
I think as a grandmama and a grandfather, I done seen grandfather them save a lot of niggas, man.
Yeah.
You know, I done seen my partners as grandfathers in their 30s and 40s be a whole different
guy than they were. Yes.
So, you know, just you know,
stay. This nigga right here.
My grandbaby changed me.
Come on.
Yeah.
Man. Come on, man.
Yeah, shit.
Come on.
That's why I'm about to ask you, but you really just answered. I was about to ask you, like, because every time I see you, anytime I've ever seen you over the years, like, your energy the same. Like, it's just like, you get, it's like magnetic. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate
you. Like, even if I'm down, I see you, it's like something I just can see you in my energy, my vibration.
Yeah.
Like, what you think you got that from grandma?
For both of my grandparents, you know, big in my life. You know what I mean? Like, you know, my granddaddy was, I could go to any city council person, any church, or, you know, somebody know my grandmama. I go to any gambling house, a crapshoot, pool hall, or any club, working man, car gate. Folk knew Willie Sherwood. You know, my grandfather was a good man. So I just wanted to be, and again, I was so hyper local that the bigger world, all the white folks I seen is on PBS. I seen Mr. Rogers and Bob Ross. You know, but I liked them. I was like, every white folk can't be back. My grandfather was really not pro. Fuck around with each other with other folk. Yeah, he was a light-skinned nigga. Way have you just like, nah, this shit been too fucked up too long.
Yeah.
Go to work, come home, take care of y'all. But what they both gave me was just like a strong identity and sense of who I was. I think, man, really, man, what you're getting from me is just old people have a sense of mortality. Lil Duval, when he be talking, you know, Lil Duval, you understand, he understand he gonna die one day.
Right.
So he treat every day as I've learned so much from him because he reminds me of like my grandfather's. We can't control the day. All I can do exercise, try to eat a little better, drink more water, that kind of shit. But you really don't know. So why give you fucked up energy?
Thanks.
You know, why waste my time with it? You know what I mean? I done did that shit in the posturing and shit. I ain't a teenager no more. You know, and even when I was a teenager, I realized I had the ability to impart good on people. So let me do that. It's like I could go to Decatur and fuck around, make a little money if I wanted to buy some Nikes and shit, because them niggas weren't gonna kill me because they liked me.
Right.
You
know what I mean? Yes.
I'll fuck with them. You know what I mean? He can ride. That's it. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. and if you gave more of that, you was gonna get more of that. My my art teacher, man, who Mr. Murray from Booker T. Washington High School, Morris Brown, and now the kids who used to teach the paint, now he teaches the farm and shit, grown food. I gotta take you out there. I gotta take both of y'all out there. Y'all okay, like it. But that man said, man, he said, you ever notice people who give blessings never run out of blessings to give?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Boy, he hit me with that shit. Yeah. Yes. He hit me with that shit. Like, I was like, man. So, I'm going to keep doing this some days. I'm going to tell you, I got to say, like man, if when you give a hoop, like, you got to thank certain people. And my team, whether it's Bear or Rhonda, my man Mike, me and my man Cuz, you know, my wife, Shay, like, they get the whole mic. They get the ugly side.
Yeah,
too,
I mean? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, they see the whole thing.
So, yeah, so you gotta be thankful of that and mindful, but what you gotta do is make sure that ain't the mic that win on a daily basis. So part of me giving y'all good energy, be just trying to remind myself, hey, fat boy, keep your head up. Don't get doubtful out here. Don't get worried. Don't get full of anxiety and shit like that, because that's bad for you, and that'll make you bad for other people. I just don't want to be bad for people.
Yes, man. Energy is everything, and
you give it. You, man, you get so many young men confidence in this game. Like you have for you. I've seen you, and I've seen and God bless you. We were talking about Juice, posthumously.
Yeah.
It's a young woman who used to do nails, started a magazine with the BMF on and shit, but. I seen y'all put more into rappers that were afterthoughts, not thought about, not believed in, and you don't understand what that righteous figure of a woman is.
They say they need answers. About what? Will I get big fat? Big fat, big
fat. AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
You know, people got, some folk got mad when I said, endowed by law. I said, maybe she angry. I just described God. I said, maybe she angry. We worshiping all those false idols and doubt, and the devils keep praying on us. You know, niggas hit me, you know God ain't a woman. I was okay. I'm like, I hear y'all. Nigga, I knew you were Muslim. Now you're Hebrew, nigga. Now,
yeah.
Like I understand you.
Which but, one is it, nigga?
But what I was trying to express in that bar is, you know, the closest or the first representation of God I saw as a child was a black woman because I breastfed. And a lot of young That's people deep. Didn't get that.
Right.
You man, you give young men and women in this industry, you give young women an integrity field person to follow to understand I don't have to simply trade my body for advancement. Now, you just want to have some fun. That's you. So you've never been pretentious about that. And beyond that, you show young men that they can have a loving, care, and nurturing relationship with a woman and then not be abused in an abusive relationship. And I've always admired that.
You know, the cancer and that should have started running out, but real nigga shit though. It's just like I'm big on energy because I feel like and don't get me wrong and don't ever get it fucked up because I have my days where like I'm on some whole other shit. But I learned from Black like a long time ago, like when you're able to like see that's what you're on. Like, just kind of keep yourself away from people until you can kind of, like, shake it off. Or, like,
yeah, straight
you
up.
Know, like, get rid of it and then pop back out. Yep. You know what I'm saying? And be back on, like, the regular shit. But, like, it's just a lot of people, like you said, don't have that positive energy anywhere around them. So if I can give a hug or give a nigga, like, fucking my phone number to call me about some shit or, you know, anything that can help, like, that's what I'm going to do because I feel like that's why I'm here to make that contribution to society.
And if everybody do that a little bit, nobody got to do a lot. This nigga, man, this nigga, I don't know why. This nigga hate me. This nigga, hey, it's a couple niggas that said, just hate me. You know what I mean? That's why niggas.
What?
Yeah, nah, niggas. Our grandmothers both were the same thing for different communities. His grandmother was from one of the city, one of the neighborhoods that's in the city. You know, so she would work in Canada, Summer Hill, People Town. That's where my dad sounded from. My grandma was on the west side, and they knew each other. So when I first got a record deal, you know, your grandma gonna drag you through that hill. You talk to these babies, and you gonna give something to their crystal thing. Mm-hmm. So, but I didn't know his grandmother. You know what I mean? And his grandmother passed or something. I was on the road. I didn't even realize it was something. But I realized that he holds in his heart a hurt that's impressed because in his mind, our grandmothers were in league. I should have. And I didn't know, and I don't know what he wants or expects, but I understand where it come from, the pain. You know what I'm saying? I understand he needs somewhere to direct.
Never had a conversation?
Yeah. I have it. You know, I have it. Because I had to grow to a point where I understood it, too. Because that, you know, I'm still in Atlanta. Niggas still like, nigga, fuck. You know what I mean? And I don't want to be like that. It's like, I don't owe you shit. You know what I mean? But he done goes, I'm on my ass. And
right. Like, you know what I'm going on,
at the time, nigga, it's 10 years, I'm on my ass. Yeah. Nigga, I'm trying to figure this shit out. But I understand. So I know when we do talk, it'll be like, man, this is how my perspective and our grandmothers did so much good work. I don't want us to be, you know, but
on these terms.
Yeah, but it took me time to get to this. You know what I'm saying? Because at first, just west side of my life. But
if it's fuck me, nigga, then fuck you.
Yeah, like, more
double motherfucking. Yeah. Like, oh God,
I was like, yo, this ain't no way. Like I wrote me a big boy. Butt heads or the guys around me, butt head. My grandma called. She said, "I'm ashamed of you."
I said, God damn, son of a bitch. Okay. I said, how the fuck this shit make it to church? You know what I mean? Like, you know, the church got a wife. Y'all niggas don't know you. And your mamas and grandmamas, if they go to church, they know all that ratchet shit. The yeah. Lord ain't the only one telling you. Somebody snitching to the preacher. Oh, I mean, I was just so, you know, I have some of those outstanding things out there. But I just want to give a good energy giver, man. I really love your, what church folk call testimony.
Yes.
Like, man, it's just, yes. Man, it's shit. It inspires me. Yeah. Yeah, no more. So I want to get my, get your fat ass up. You seen that nigga bank. Here, go your ass to pay. Go get your ass. Get your ass. Go to therapy. Get on that track.
Get on that track.
And your courage, though, to say, I have changed.
Yeah, nah.
Unapologetically.
Bear Loke is one of the only people I know who do a lot of people, you know, a lot. Bear is who your raps. I'm going to shout. You're going to hear me talk about a lot of Atlanta people. So when I think, talk about Jay, you know, I have to talk about, say, Taj, you know, a sister just out of a strong spiritual community here. But, man, I've known her since we was young people. And she is a figure that's a mother and sister and comrade to many. When I look at Bear and you, y'all's willingness to say, I've changed. Man, it give other dudes the courage to say, I've changed. So,
sure.
Like, I watch Big Facts because I know the people behind it. When I watch it, I don't know if it's cool to mention, but I mentioned Drink Champs. I never knew Noriega. And Noriega was one of the first people, so I come and say, yo, kid, today, bro, don't eat nothing. Just gonna these the juices you're gonna drink, and you're just gonna hit a walk. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yo, and became friends from that. And he'll say, I've changed. I think that's some of the most courageous thing being done in front of the camera, man. You a real leader. I understand why. Like, I understood your leadership from the perspective of, you know, when it was duct taping and when it was music. I understood your leadership easy then. You know,
right.
It was akin to the streets. But beyond that, man, you are truly a leader. Because after a general wins a war, every general don't get elected president. Because every general is not fit to lead a nation just because you can win a battle in a war.
Right.
Not only are you a warrior and been on a war field, you are a diplomat and a politician and a shore of a nation how to walk into something better. And that's amazing.
That's real, man. Real I shit, appreciate that.
Real I call him the real nigga pioneer.
Yeah. You the Hosea Williams in the movement.
Okay.
You know, I know you're a little younger than me, but like Hosea, man, Hosea was amazing. And again, I'm saying Atlanta stuff, y'all can Google this stuff. Hosea Williams, so y'all know about Dr. King, y'all know about Andy Young, y'all know about Ralph David Abernathy. You know, guys who really don't know about James Orange, who's my personal mentor. Right. All these people in the movie Selma. But Hosea Williams, oh,
was
man.
A lot of things.
Oh, man. First of all, he's a businessman, so he have to beg white folks for shit.
Yes.
So his attitude was, I'm with my man, do or die.
Right.
And after my man died, I'm about his mission, do or die. They say, Hosea say, he talked to a politician, what do you want? I want a king holiday. Well, we're not going to be able to do that. Say, this motherfucker get up and walk out the room. I don't need nothing else from you. The fuck we here for?
What are we talking about?
I think your spirit, man, it just lets me know that that's still here. What Hosea and Allen Pat did.
Yes,
you guys are continuing that real talk.
Yes.
I like that.
Ultimately,
yes.
that's what like not that. Saves the city, but that's what preserves us.
Mm.
Yes.
You know?
I agree.
You like Andy, everybody like you. You real fine. You gonna say a few cute things, get all that.
He's a diplomat.
Yeah. Andy's a great one, man. Andy's the reason we sitting, you know,
yeah.
Him and Maynard's vision for economically and internationally, what we can become. I wanna see Black Atlanta, you know, even if you move here from somewhere else. Find somebody from Atlanta, you know, and befriend them. You know, stop comparing where you're from, and you still chip whatever team you want because your kids gonna be Braves, Hawks, and Falcons, man. We're not worried about that. But I want people to understand that there's an Atlanta way, a tradition that allows people to grow.
Right.
That allows a 18-year-old girl to move here in 1950 and own her own house by the time she 20. It's a way for a young man who came up on the east side, die hard conditions. My other grandma in Kirkwood. I need to know that. Mm-hmm. So I done seen where Kirkwood, Edgewood, all that shit was, what it will be. For a young man to come out of that and mature to grow to say I've changed, influence others, it means something. And we can do more of that for y'all to move where you from and be a part of a place that's expected to succeed. We can do more of that, but we have to stay decided on that. We can't get divided. You know what I'm saying? Or have your divisions behind closed doors. Argue after your church meetings in your living room. But all this public going back and forth shit is dumb.
Yeah.
What do you think about, like, the people in the mentality of no hope? Like, and maybe all of us have been there at some point where their mindset is just...
Man, look for hope. It's like you're sitting in a cave and you fuck around and see some light.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if y'all, a lot of niggas ain't been, hold on, like a lot of niggas lights that got turned off. So remember when your mom, your dad didn't give your mom that money, light got turned off. You laying in the goddamn dog.
Looking at the street light.
Yeah, shade.
Really get dog.
Yeah. And you be like, nigga, be scared of fucking in. You might see one thing of light. In the street light. It's that you have to look for
the
hope.
Glimmer of hope. I guess.
Look for it in the smile of the day. Sometimes, yeah. Man, when you're looking down, man, you fuck around, see a kid look up at you and smile. Mm. And I believe your ancestors are always with you. You facts. Know, I believe that the if we are energy and prayers are real requests that sit out, mm-hmm. then it's no way my grandmama gone. She gone in the physical, but something, my little girl gonna do something to remind me.
Right.
My son gonna do something to remind me. He gonna say something. She said, you know, a child is gonna, and look for it. You gotta look for hope. Mm. You can't even expect it. You just gotta look for it. You gotta know it's there.
Instead of looking for all the other shit.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's look it. The Lord ain't gonna fail you. Whatever you call that Lord. It ain't gonna fail. It's in you. You here. You not ready to beat the hardest race you could beat. It was 20 billion of y'all, or 2,250 million of y'all in your daddy nuts that day.
Oh, sperm, yeah.
He finally talked your mama out some legs. You know what I mean? Nigga, finally they got some pussy. You know what I mean? and you here. So you already won the hardest race it was to win. Mm. Why would you think you can't? Mm. Might take you a little longer. Shit, fuck around, took me 20 years.
Mm. Talk about that, man, because there's Killer Mike coming in, getting down with like Dungeon, fucking with Outkast, yep. Running the Grammy. And I'm sure this shit don't have peaks and valleys. Mm-hmm. But how did you maintain and stay persistent and consistent? Because a lot of niggas would have gave up.
Man, I didn't give myself another option. I ain't saying everybody should do that, but I got my slick ass in the Morehouse. I dropped my dumb ass out of Morehouse. I started doing what came easy enough. Selling drugs went hard. Because most of the, you know, if you 45 and up, shit, the same people that might have been your football coach or your goddamn boys club instructor might be asking your ass for dope on the way to school one morning. Mm-hmm. And you only gonna get asked folk five times, but you like, shit, I need to have some dope on me. I mean, I might need to make a move.
Yeah.
Your little $50 move.
It's free money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so I tell people all the time, when they condemning people, you weren't there. You don't know how they... I picked up a nigga from Dixie Hills a year ago. I'm coming through Dixie Hills. It's a nigga walking to the store. And I say, OG, you need to ride to the store. OG, living. Mm-hmm. OG, we get OG to the store. Me and my partner, OG, gotta say, hey, man, you ain't got... I say, OG. What I'm gonna have some dope for and invite you in my car and just and I said I was trying to get he said yeah I'm sorry I said it ain't the 90s no more ain't nobody you know everybody just ain't got some crack on but I realized I can't DJ Swift man Outkast DJ when I had got the deal he came out I was in some townhouse on the end of MLK so I thought I was cool ain't nobody gonna fuck me now yo so I pulled up and it was just a bunch of niggas with white t-shirts. And you in the middle of these niggas. And I was like, yeah, shout him around. He was like, nah, you got to move. And he told me that. He said, you got to move. I said, for what? He said, nah, you can't do this. I realized that I had kind of let what I could do become me. And it really wasn't me.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, I think about 14 pounds of meat. I just brought the shit back. That nigga Big Boy found that shit out, man. That nigga said, hey, man, we got to talk. You know what I mean? I look at Big like a big brother. He said, man, you got to decide what you going to do. He said, man, you smart. He said, is he really saying, nigga, why you dumb? You know what I'm saying? Like, why is you, like, he like, are you going to be a drug dealer or a rapper? And it was at that moment, I'm just like, yeah. Just because you can do something on me, yes. Do it. And I was smoking like a pack of Newports. Like for Pete, this is not a cigarette; it's a joint. But I was smoking like a pack of ports a day, as like a tithing to God. I gave up smoking when I got the deal, and I realized it was just anxiety. Because my own shit, these niggas gonna kill me. Mm. They know I'm not supposed to be all these niggas. Because usually you start where you live. So I'm like, man, these niggas know I'm smart. We done went to elementary school four together. These niggas know I done went to Morehouse. They know I done left.
Yeah.
Then I got moved around Decatur because I realized you can move around with a beeper. That's why I met you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm just like, well, I'm like, they going to kill. I had really decided. I said, these niggas going to kill.
Eventually,
I'm
going to feel like that?
Huh?
Why you feel like that? Why you felt like that?
Because I had an experience. I had an experience where it might have been 97, 98. It was a funky little drought. So I had to pivot and fuck with somebody that I wouldn't usually fuck with. Mm. I think I was Nah, I didn't want much at all, but he would just get me through. And the nigga kept calling me. I seen my grandma part of the church. So I just pulled up. I said, let me get some money to the church. You keep a nigga head off the block. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And she said, stay. She didn't even like this. She said, stay. So I'm sitting down there I'm with the old ladies and shit, and I'm just like, okay. It's like a scene in the goddamn movie. My anxiety keeping up. I'm like, I'm finna miss this plane. There ain't no plane. But then I'm just like, why this nigga keep calling me? And my mind started talking. I said, nigga's a drought. This nigga don't need you. What the fuck he keep calling you for?
Mm-hmm.
Time to go for church. Got the last 20, 30 minutes. All right, mom, I'm out. It was like hearing that last scene of Goodfellas, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, no, the preacher wants to see you. This nigga want to see me. And then he want to have everybody hold hands and pray. Wherever he was going, that was evil cast. All of those shit, you know, they asked for some money at work. Well, he ain't asking for no money. And I realized when I got in that car, got back out, I said, don't answer that phone. I said, you weren't going to leave where you going. This nigga don't like you that much. That this nigga can call you 15, 20 times. This not.
Right.
This is something else.
Yeah, it's something else. Yeah. And it was at that moment I realized, like, if you say, and I still didn't get the deal for like another year, but I started acting and moving differently. I started moving like I wanted to be a musician.
Mm-hmm. When was that moment you know, like, yeah, this my purpose?
This my man, when I first got it, I knew it was my purpose when I was 9 years old.
Okay.
That little boy that's on the with the horns and the halo on the Michael cover. That little nigga knew he was gonna be a rapper. And my mama, Denise, man, God bless her, she was only 16 years older than me, so I'm 9. She was 25. I tell her, I wanna be a rapper. She, fuck it. She's smoking a joint, her homegirl, rap for my friends. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Encourage a child, man.
And
my mama was, man, I was just in love with her. I was so in love. Still am. Just I thought she was the most beautiful woman on earth. I loved how other people, you know, I go to Frederick Douglass's. We do, it's like almost like a HBCU when you go to Atlanta Public Schools.
Yeah.
It's the school name for black people. Mm-hmm. And then they still stay really active. Mm-hmm. I go to her class. And her class say, man, we remember when you was in. We remember when you was on your mama's hip. We remember. And she just, man, she just encouraged me all the way. Because rap was her music first. Rap was, you know, it was like Houdini, Curtis Blow, that type. It was her shit.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard Run, you know, like Run DMC, I was like, oh, shit. When I told her Ice-T, you know, yeah, I'm like, I'm all in. But, man, she was the person that said, you can do it. You know, my grandmother and grandfather wanted me to just be stable and be responsible. Like, you know, my grandfather was a great dump truck driver and drove and had a great goddamn car gang, Tunkin. So we didn't never want for anything. Our lights were never off. The water was always hot or cold, whatever it needed to be. My grandmother was a nurse, educated woman who married a working class man.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all motherfuckers out there with y'all opinions. All my teachers were married to working class men.
Mm-hmm.
My teachers, if they weren't married to another teacher, they were married to a nigga who was a plumber. A nigga who made some good money. Like, nigga, I remember
stable money.
Yeah, they like, nigga, I can still read Shakespeare, nigga, but this lock $125 to change, and we gonna do this, we're gonna get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I was in love with my mom. So once she told me I could do it, it was it.
That was it.
That's what I was gonna do. Now, I'm gonna just tell people who have a dream, accept the challenges though.
Mm-hmm.
Like Miss Eva, fourth grade, Miss Eva say, Michael, you too smart to be a rapper. Rap won't be around long. You should be a pilot. At 15 years old, Mr. Jim Berto, who was a man who taught at another high school, came to Mays. I was in summer school at Mays. He said, hey, you want to get paid to learn how to fly? I'm walking out of class like, what? He said, you want to get paid to learn? Hell yeah. He said, my name's Jim Berto. You'll come to, I said, but I'm in summer school. He said, you'll come to summer school every day. You'll leave here and then you go. There was another kid in that class who became slim for 112. We learned how to fly planes and aviation mechanics together. And I say that to say accept challenges because I accepted the request of the governor to sit in on the Georgia Work First Summit thing. Back to that shit. Right?
Yeah.
I talk about that story. I tell this story to these people who are in the room like, we need a greater workforce. We need to start putting trades and these type of things back in school, including piloting and shit like that. I say, absolutely. I say, I'm a product of that. And I gave you the testimony. I told him the story of Jim Berto. At the end of the thing, a guy comes up to me and say, I just hung up on Jim. He says he's proud of
you. Mm.
So when you accept challenges in your life, you never know how God is disguising the growth. You pray for the growth. Go, God, I want to be a rapper. At 9 years old, Lord, I want to be a rapper. At 10 years old, Ms. Eva say, you're too smart to be a rapper, be a pilot.
Mm.
I don't think about it for 5 years. At 5 years, opportunity comes up to learn how to fly. I take it based on being challenged by Ms. Ely. Mm-hmm. I come back after I do that course to Ms. Ely because she's working at Antioch Baptist. I think it's Antioch on morning. I say, Ms. Ely, I say, I'm your old student. Michael, I remember you. I say, listen, Ms. Ely, I'm still going to be a rapper. I say, but that flies. I say, yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Like I say, I'm going to keep doing that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So for me, man, your dream is yours. And I didn't even know you made a lot of money rapping at the time. You know, I just wanted to be a rapper. So for me, the dream was pure, or when I knew about Black, it was pure because I was nine. I was so young. Mm-hmm. Now, being a business person, when I knew that is probably 12 years ago. And that's the next phase of my life. I want to be the rawest rapper I can be. To me, there's no greater than Scarface. There's nothing greater than Brad Jordan. Everybody, you can put Brad Jordan 1 and whoever you want to after that is all good to me. Yeah. You talking about consistency, the guy right next to him, Too Short. If I could have that type of consistency and length of career and that type of greatness of reaching the human emotional depth and expressing that in a damn near Shakespearean-like way, that's what I want. But with all that said, I've seen this guy named Magic Johnson and what he did for my city. He's not even from here.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember when he brought the movies back to Marine Ryan. Yes. I remember when he brought Starbucks to Cascade. Mm-hmm. I remember.
Yes.
And he's done all of this while helping other Black people not only be employed, but have and grow other leaders.
Yeah.
And I can't lie, I'm inspired by that.
Yes.
And I decided that this is what I want to do. That hip hop, they say the four elements were, you know, breakdancing or b-boying, graffiti, turntablism, DJing, and rapping. But I'll add, you know, if you got them four as the base, you have the crowd you have here with you. Economics.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You know, trap music has made a lot more money than cocaine may have ever made.
Mm.
You know, when you think about this, when you're looking at one artist, you're looking at 10 to 40 different jobs around that artist. You know what I mean? So for me, I knew that about 12 years ago when I got, everybody who know me knows Shay. I talk about
Shay,
my partner, she's my,
that's my baby.
That's my wife. And you know, some days got down, that's my dog, we all in. Some days, nigga, we disagreeing. But you ain't gonna never not see us together. And I seen that with my grandparents. But man, I remember I got a little $60, my first real money, because you don't get money because you win a Grammy. You know, when
right. Yeah. Right.
I want the Grammy.
I'm already rich,
you know what I mean?
Right.
But I want my Grammy, you know what I mean?
Right.
But after Drake decided to, you know, pursue acting, stop touring after the Big, was trying to figure out what to do the whole Purple Ribbon together. There was no active movement, so you're not getting show money either. Yeah. So, you know, what I had to understand is that, man, the woman that I picked, I always say I hit the lottery because I bought the ticket. But I had to sit there and make a decision.
Mm.
I'm sitting out here like, God damn. Like, because you know you're fucking 3, 4, 5, you know? But and you ain't really saying to yourself, be honest and sit them down and talk to them. They might understand. You know what I mean? You don't have the courage to do that. But man, I bet on this little chick from Savannah, man. She was in nursing school. She was determined. That motherfucker reminded me of my grandma.
Mm. Right.
I'm like, this little motherfucker up here. Work. She told her friend, I need 2 weeks on your floor, and I have my own apartment. Mm. I was fucking with another broad in the back of the apartment. She lived there. I didn't know. I pull up. And I said, oh shit, I'm familiar with this. I remember I told the girl the first week. I said, hey, I ain't gonna be the fuck with you. The other girl was nursing chemo, big old ass. You know what I mean? But I like it. I ain't gonna be able to. I'm gonna think I'm gonna bet on this little motherfucker. See, but got like 60 band, and I said, well, what we gonna do? I said, well, you know, my whole thing has always been land. Get you a piece of land so that if the worst come, I'll pitch a tent and sleep on this motherfucker. I know how to fish. I know how to build a campfire. So I went and found group of houses on the west side, because I knew the west side was only 3 miles from downtown. I knew we gonna be. Man, we bought our first property, and she didn't want no bag. She drove in that goddamn Honda. She had Juicy Couture bag. She that's a fake Louis. So she didn't give a fuck. You know what I mean? I just love that spirit about it. And I said, now going forward, I gotta transform my mind. I gotta think like a business person. I gotta take the lessons my grandparents told me about money.
Right.
And I gotta start applying it. I used to tell my wife shit like, you know what I'm saying? We all grew up poor, you know, nigga, we taught this all about us. And one day she said, nigga, y'all was rich. And I'm like, I never heard nobody say no shit like that to me. Like, rich, like we grew up on the west side, so our houses are the little 900 square foot houses that border that's the buffer between Bowen Homes and, say, Martin Luther King and white, where Dr. King parents, Herman Russell, them little rich black folks is here. All those working class niggas is here, and then them niggas on that see about your ass is here. So I never considered myself rich, but she said, nigga, y'all had an RV. I said, yeah, because my granddaddy, he never sold his house. She said, nigga, your granddaddy had another house. She said, your grandparents lived a life and such. They used their resources to make sure you guys had. And what they didn't give y'all in Jordans or clothing and shit like that, like I said, she had spoiled my mother materialistically. They gave y'all an experience. We went everywhere. Lake went for soccer, Blue Beach, Florida. We were traveling. And then I started understanding, man, what I had was opportunity. What I had was a bigger imagination. I wasn't limited in my view. So understanding that she was the right pair for me. And we could have something together. And I love the story Gucci told me. Gucci said, I had $2 million left. I gave the shit to my girl. I came back. It was six. You know, niggas be dreaming and thinking big, but nigga, who's the girl when you get locked up and you leave up with 10,000, you come out, your 10,000 gonna be there. That's cool. I had a girl like that in there, but boy, fuck around and come out and it's 15 or 25.
And some added to it. Yeah.
That's just a different move. You know what I mean? I got a call from my accountant. Hey, he's a little dude. He's my stereotypical, my account. I love him. He's a little Jewish dude. I love him to death. He say, I want to talk to you about something. I said, what you want to talk about? I just saw like about $80,000 move. And I don't know. I mean, I didn't talk to you and Shay about it together. It seems like. And so they talk more because she want to know where her money at all times. So I said, what the fuck this nigga calling me about this shit for? I was like, he know whatever move she making. I'm not going to.
Yeah.
I called and said, hey, man, I got a call, man. What's up? She said, what? I told that motherfucker don't say nothing. I said, what? What's wrong? She said, the house you bought me, I bought her the house she grew up in, her grandmother's house. She said, we now have an Airbnb in Savannah. And I drove, she took me to Savannah the next weekend. This motherfucking house totally redone. And I'm like, why wouldn't I trust this motherfucker with my life?
Exactly.
Right. You understand what I'm saying? I had fell out from fucking dehydration and exhaustion. And I woke up. I told this man, I'm in the hospital now. I'm gonna fuck up on the road. And she wouldn't leave my side. They said they need Elsa's. About
what? When I get big fat. Big fat, big fat. AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Mr. Worldwide himself, Pitbull.
A lot of artists in general, people that are very creative, sometimes tend to overthink. That's one of my number one rules. Don't ever overthink. You can think ahead, but don't overthink. And what I mean by that is when they start to write a record, they're like, oh, that's not the line. Oh, that's not this. Oh, it's not that. And everybody has a creative process. I'm not knocking it. For me, I just let it flow.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. because, God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if... No. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh,
yeah. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Do you look at marriage as a... as a business partnership?
I mean, it's a few things. It depends on your marriage. Tailor fit your marriage. See, I'm an artist. I know how to go out and make money. I'm a good idea person. But I'm a fuck up some
money. Not as a business like, partnership, but as a business deal.
I'm sorry. No, in part, absolutely it is. Especially when you involve state in your business. We country though. You know, we country folk. You know what I mean? Yes. So it's just like, I'm married, I'm locked in. I saw my grandfather threaten to walk away once. You know what I mean? My grandmama, she did some shit that he didn't like. And after that, she was like, hey, man, that's not going to happen again. You know what I'm saying? Like he had caught a DUI years, and my grandma was just hyper about it. Because she didn't want us to ever wake up and they not be there, you know, to depend on. And so she had... one of their mutual friends drive her to get, she had got left a Cadillac by a white family she worked for. She gave it to my grandfather. But she was just saying, I'm going to take the car home with it when it's time to get you come. But my granddaddy got so piping how the nigga had drove over there. Now, that was hip hop though. And then hip hop. I wouldn't have minded. But listen, I ain't on old nigga different. My granddaddy came home. First, I thought that he was going to kill somebody. This nigga was ready. I'm like, what the fuck? Me and my sister like, hey, what's wrong? This nigga started packing his shit. He started packing his fucking shit. And my grandma like, no, Willie, you can't go. He's like, she calm. And usually, you know, she'll huff up a little bit. But wow, Bert, that nigga had killed two niggas in his life, too. So I realized she probably had met a match. You know what I'm saying? But she said, and this is the only thing that come out. She said, you didn't come here angry. If you leave, you can't leave angry. And he put everything back in the head and he went and said, and it was never spoken of again. But that was the one time. So for me, It's a business arrangement in that my grandfather was functionally illiterate. He had to drop out in third grade because his father left. He had to raise his sisters to help his mother. So his check came home to my grandmother. Now, what he made gambling and on the side driving dump truck on the weekends, you know, for small contracts, that was his money. But his check, the check. So I saw that kind of business arrangement. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. Yeah. Then so I learned, okay, if you can't trust me with a check, that ain't your woman. Don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Or if you have a woman that's frivolous with money, you better be more disciplined with money. Mm-hmm. So it's a business arrangement in that.
Real shit.
Just to me, fuck with somebody who understands living at or below your means and can do that with you. They're gonna ride around, they got their Honda Accord proud with you. So when they get that, you know, I tell her all the time, I say, you got $250,000 of cars in the driveway. I drive a goddamn Hellcat. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't, you know, but when she drove that goddamn Honda, she drove that motherfucker proud and she drive that goddamn Range Rover. Exactly. You know? So for me, there's a business element to marriage, and some marriages are just pure business, and that's fine. I chose to marry Shayna because I understood my slippages and faults, and we counterbalance each other's faults well. You know what I'm saying? We used to both be bad about time and being late. Fuck that. I be on time now. And she just said, well, I ooh, and meet you. You know what I mean? We've had to concede certain stuff and understand, but I want you, and you should love the person you married, but you don't have to. I've seen successful marriages happen without love, but they created stable human beings that went on to be loving people. But everybody ain't got to be. Mm. I just know for me, if I wouldn't have married Shay, I probably wouldn't have married. That marriage shit.
That's real shit.
You know what I mean?
That's real.
That shit.
If I
that's my girl, yeah, man.
Yeah. It don't serve no nigga.
I would never do that again. Like,
yeah, yeah, it don't serve no nigga. Says, like,
so then you're just getting out of it because I never.
Yeah,
I
never get.
It's just like getting freed from jail and say, I want to go back for the same charge.
Nah.
Ain't nobody going back.
And that ain't speaking against marriage. Man, you, to me, you need fundamentally, but what your marriage is need to be what you consider.
Yes.
I got an Uncle Vin and an Uncle Lee. They both man as a motherfucker. Married. I love them both to death. They happy. You know what I'm saying? They happy. So be happy. I know a nigga with four wives. All his kids went to school on scholarship. I had to pay for my kids' education. So shit, that nigga might have a better plan than me. Cause I bet they had group school. Them little motherfuckers, their kids weren't fucking early or nothing. But he a Muslim. You know what I mean? So whatever your marriage is, just tailor fitted with you and your partner or partners. You know what I mean?
Right.
But don't let society tell you, you know, what it is or what it's supposed to be. Because it's some lifetime shit, dog. And if you're gonna be in it for life, you're gonna have some uncomfortable moments.
Right.
Too. You know what I mean? And no sense in walking around uncomfortable, tensing yourself up, dying a few years early. This motherfucker gonna fuck somebody else, spend your money on them anyway.
Rich.
You know?
Yeah, but it is.
Will we ever get trigger warning too?
Man, that's up to them white folks. I would love to do it.
Y'all saw trigger warning?
I would love to do it for the money it takes to do it right. That was one of the times I was driving myself, you know, exhausted and dehydrated because I was working so hard to prove it. You know, I've done everything. I wanted to be on TV as a kid. You know what I mean? That's why I like watching PBS shit like that. Mm. I didn't want to do typical TV. Now I've grown and matured in my thought, but I always wanted to do something radical, different. I used to watch a show called Real People. Byron Allen, who now owns the Weather Channel.
Yeah, yeah.
Who was trying, you know, everybody, y'all hear about Byron Allen as a billionaire. I started watching Byron Allen. He had all his hair. He was a skinny little black dude on Real People. You watch it. And then we'd go find these strange and wonderful people throughout the United States. And you just got a chance to see. Because, again, I grew up in an all-black world. Right. We understand that. Most people don't understand it. So
right.
Other people was literally alien to me. It was amazing. It was cool learning about other people. So, you know, for me, that's what trigger warning. It gave me an opportunity to be this wandering figure, just figuring
right.
stuff out. And I
so
did
you really did that shit? You really like slept on that bench?
For 4 hours, I was out there. So I did shit like, we have a problem with people not learning. So I tried to use pornography to help people to learn how to use trade.
How you do that?
I showed them a butt flick and how to wire a lamp. Everybody naked. But it's like, I paid more attention to that than every trade I ever paid attention to.
Real shit though.
We did something where I started my own country, New Africa, and ran with an election against some other people, and they voted for me. Because popularity oftentimes wins over capability.
And that's the shit we did, the red coke and the
Crippa Cola.
With that, I changed the election. Why you changed the election? Not for me to win, for me to lose, because the black woman was a better leader. Because I had to go on tour. I'm getting back to doing drugs, going to the flame. I don't want to leave no nation. You know what I mean? I'm curious. People make me curious. So I want to do another trigger warning. I just can't do it at the budget. So if they give me the budget we need, I would love to. So
y'all open that budget up for that trigger warning too.
Fox and Netflix were part of that happening. So shouts out to FX. Thank y'all. And shouts out to Netflix. Yeah, I'd love to figure out doing it again. You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Finally, I want to ask you, a lot of people look to you for guidance. You're a leader in your own respected right. 2024 is coming. A lot of people are kind of confused about what to do politically, but they're going to look to you for answers. They look to you. A lot of people fuck with Bernie because you fuck with Bernie. A lot of people listen to Killer. So what you got to say to the people for 2024?
What I have to say is hyper local. Who is your prosecutor?
Right.
Who are the judges you're going to be voting
there
for?
You go. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know, you should Google your prosecutors and judges now. Mm-hmm. You should say to yourself, how has this happened since? Our mayor has done a fine job in affordable housing.
Mm.
He's doing a great job. I would hate for other things that were not the mission to take precedent over that when it's time to vote again. Mm. Because it's still black people living in this neighborhood. And when I go to other cities, ain't no more black people in certain neighborhoods. It used to be black people.
Mm.
So that's one reason I feel like, man, I'm gonna run with this mayor because he's actually brought the things home. He said he was bringing it home. So I don't even think up to the president because I'm too busy thinking about my mayor. This governor, who a lot of people didn't like or did not want me to like, has engaged me as a taxpayer and as a person in the community that's affected by prisons.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Angela was saying about Trump.
I took a, well, I ain't gonna do the Trump comparison.
You know?
I'm only talking about my governor who didn't support you know Trump's you know push for it to a recount or whatever he was pushing for.
Right.
But our governor stood on the side of what to me was principled at that time, and that's what matters. I mean, I don't have to agree with you. I don't have to agree with all your policies. I'll give you a grand disagreement. There's a gang enhancement bill that came across. It enhances if you are caught recruiting kids in the gangs and things of that nature, right? And I pitched my case for him. I said, I have to talk to you. He gave me audience with the lawyers, gave me audience with staff. I said, well, this is how I see it. If you look at a 13-year-old girl that gets recruited into prostitution by an 18-year-old girl, you look at both of those girls as victims because both 18-year-old girl at one time was molested, used, abused. She was trained how to recruit other girls. I say, I need you to look at gangs in the same way. If you're a 17, 18-year-old young man, you're recruiting a 13-year-old, you've never been a leader, you've never been considered a leader. It's the only thing that's giving you a sense of leader, community, of brotherhood. Then I think you should look at that the same way you would look at that 18-year-old girl. Then. And I lost that case. I pitched it. He gave me audience, but when it came time to sign, still signed, right? Double back around, though, like I said, a year later, he knows, all right, Mike told me in these conversations, if our boys have trades earlier, then our girls go on to college, but our boys need something to do, he kept me in mind for that. It's just politics.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? It's just politics. It's just like every nigga I ever bought dope from, I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, Lord, no! Some of them niggas I hated.
So what you independent or what you is?
I'm a nigga. I'm a black man. Yeah, I'm an Atlantic. I'm a whole lot of shit, but I don't belong to no party.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is black people be black.
Exactly.
Right? I'm a black Democrat.
Yeah.
If you're a Republican, I'm a black Republican.
Yeah.
If you're black, be that because they always, you know, they tell us things like, you know, you shouldn't put African American on your thing, that type of shit. And I'm like, yeah, but all my Greek friends said, I'm Greek. That doesn't mean they're not American.
Yeah.
Culturally, they understand I'm Greek. All my Russian friends, they understand I'm Russian. Like, they don't run from, you can't run from who you are. Nigga, we can't run from who we are. We black.
Yes,
we black first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
I fuck with that.
You should be who you are, but pay attention
to the policies that benefit our people.
That's all you should pay attention to.
Nothing. I'm
that's
black.
All. You,
that
there
real
are
shit.
No permanent friends and allies in politics. Like, that's just what, and it's not, that's not saying, well, no permanent allies. It's not saying you still can't be my friend, but we didn't agree on that. The thing that we agreed on, though, we pushing for.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's my shit is. If we agreed to trade schools and do this, and you're about to put 40-something million or put 40 million in the trade schools that ended up on trade, and then some of it saw its way to Atlanta, then I can't do nothing but work with what I got. One thing, my mama told me, know a lot about a lot of shit, but the shit I got a yes on, I ran it all the way up. So I would suggest black people look at that. Now Mike done been on here. And you can say, well, man, fuck that fat ass. He don't know what he's talking about, man. It was like, all that old shit.
You know what you're talking about.
But I'm going to give you this. I got sent Magic Johnson about 3-4 times the other day. I'm like, man, why everybody keep sending me Magic? Like, you know, he must have said something significant. Shouts out to Freddie O. Freddie O said they asked Magic Johnson. He was in the process of doing a press conference about buying the Atlanta Life Insurance Company. Y'all should Google Alonzo Hurd, Atlanta Life Insurance Company.
Yeah, very prominent figure.
Yep.
Black man.
Black man owned barbershops that hired, employed all black people. A couple of them serviced all white men.
Mm-hmm.
He hears business. Insurance, all this kind of shit you talked about. He says, man, black people can't even get insurance. He starts to get insurance policy from them, I would assume, and then supplement. Builds the largest black insurance company in the world, right here in Atlanta. Magic Johnson, of course, is, again, he's the person I love Michael Jordan and Dominique Wilkins. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But Magic was the person that called me and said, I can take my entertainment and I can leverage this shit into being a business person. Like,
right.
So he's been for the last 20 some years of my life, been someone I looked up to. Magic said, yeah. They said, how'd you find out? He said, Killer Mike. He said, we were watching something with Killer Mike. Mm-hmm. And Killer Mike started talking about this man and this company, and we had to go research. So I'm going to just say, if a billionaire is fucking around listening to me, if you somewhere in the barbershop arguing over if you like my album or not, or if you a mother with some sons, or if you a dad that want to give something, maybe you should just check it out. Because I'm not going to ask you for no money at the end of the speech. I'm not going to charge you to come and get in. I'm going to do the same thing this man, this woman do. Just give you some free game and a hug.
Mm. Yes.
That's it. And wish you the best. So if you were in Georgia, because I'm staying hyper local. Mm. Right. If you were in Georgia, you voted for Warnock, you voted for Ossoff, I would start to stay there statewide, or if you, whoever you voted for in terms of the Board of Education, your respective city or county, mm-hmm. I would start pressing for funds to be put in high school to bring trades back.
Mm.
Carver High School was a trades and Murphy, what was Murphy High School? I forgot. It's Crim now, Alonzo Crim now. Frederick Douglass, all these schools, a child should be able to come in and say, well, if I'm not magnet program and I'm not arts talent center, music talent center, I should be able to do trade skills and focus. Mm-hmm. Because for the next 15 years, you're going to be able to put out money makers. You're going to be able to put out Little Yachty. Went to a school in the suburbs. I love Yachty. His father is a product of the arts program that I'm a product of in Frederick Douglass. Mm-hmm. Before Yachty became Yachty and blew up, mm-hmm. right? There, the only other kid, it was a kid who was like, in terms of who made money big first, there was a kid who's in college and he's probably graduated, but he had taken a welding course in high school. So he was already making 70 grand a year mm-hmm. when they were like 20, 21 years old. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. think about that. Everybody can't be Yachty.
Right.
Yachty's right. father has, you know, has shown him for years, what to do with a camera, what to do.
Yeah,
you know,
Shannon is the truth.
Yachty has been in an environment where he understood how to figure out how to make himself.
Most his mama people, too, though.
Exactly. Amazing mm-hmm. people.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But most people not privy to be like me at 9 mm-hmm. years old. My mama said, "Nee, you want to be a rapper? Okay, we're going to rap." Mm-hmm. You know, he had, most of you all have seen other people say, well, I can do it too. Fuck that, I can do it too. That I can do it too are the welders, the carpenters, electricians. Because you can fuck around and do that too. And you'd be making $120,000 while you try to figure out really what you want to do with your life. Then you might just say, well, fuck it, I want to make $120,000 watch football or something. Mm. You know, so I think that ultimately that's what I want to just tell people, man. If Magic listened to me, you know, mm-hmm. and just call some, and Lord knows, I hope I can do some business with him one day, you know. I would just like to say, you know, just listen to me, black folk, because I don't want nothing from you. You know, if you like my music, buy it or come see a show or buy a t-shirt. If you like to get your hair cut, come to one of my barbershops. Mm-hmm. If you want to eat some fried fish, we order in Bankhead Seafood. Mm-hmm. I ain't trying to do nothing but even swaps and swims. I don't want anything from you, but you to be your best.
Yeah.
Because my daughter's got to marry somebody. My son's got to marry somebody. And I would like them to marry somebody that look like us.
Mm. Killer Mike on motherfucking Big Facts.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
Ethnic right now.
Visit the new website today, bigfactspod.com.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school, like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.